We welcome you to the Lutheran Prayer Hour. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ.
Psalm 73. reading from Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food? And is not the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for it will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." This is the word of the Lord.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Truly, God is good to Israel. This is the assertion of faith. Faith trusts in God and expects good from him. But the psalm writer nevertheless begins to take issue with this. And our minds have entertained such trains of thought also. We have not always believed that God is good to his church, to his children, especially to me. We've second-guessed him as Eve did. We've taken matters into our own hands to secure ourselves with mammon. And we have had need to pray, "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief." We know anxiety. And Jesus' gentle rebuke falls on us also, "O you of little faith." What is it that causes our feet to stumble? Well, the psalmist lays this out as a suggestion. The arrogant, the wicked, the unbelievers have it better than we do. God does not respect those who strive to keep their hearts clean or follow him. "I know, because I've seen it," the psalmist says. Bad things happen to good people, and the bad guys are better for it. The cheaters win. The liars get the prestige. The wicked prosper. They get fat, he says. Fat and happy, we might say. They are comfortable in life. They don't have my hardships, and on top of it, they aren't bothered by their mistakes, their cheating, their lying, their evil. They die with the same smile on their face that they lived with, it seems. Pride is like a badge of honor for them, and it's their parade banner. Violence follows them until they get their way. and they have a way of setting themselves above everyone else, even, if possible, above God. And what is the result, God, if you are listening? Your own people fall to them. Christians defect. They become children of this world, not of you. They value the job. They value the game and the fun more than their maker. They love the lie more than the truth. And pretty soon, whether they realize it or not, they are agreeing with the unbelievers. How will God know? If anything, he would want me to be happy and to do what I feel is right. And thus the psalmist has painted his picture. Here they are, the wicked, the unbelieving, always at ease, always increasing in riches. And what about me? Well, I've kept my heart clean for no reason. I'm not the real sinner here, am I? Of what benefit is repentance or seeking forgiveness or trying to do better? I would be better off as an unbeliever. It is better to rule in hell than to serve in heaven. But here is where the psalm takes its turn. Here is where you can hear the psalmist slapping himself, or rather, the Holy Spirit slapping him, as he must do for each of us also. What am I saying? What would it mean to give voice to these thoughts? Well, the psalmist said, I would betray the generation of your children. Dear saints, whenever we say, woe is me, I just want to be happy, I don't deserve this, and everyone else has it better than me, this is like spitting in the face of not only God, but also of our fellow Christians. We ignore what St. Paul says, that we have faced nothing that is not common to man. We let down our fellow believers who are enduring suffering, who are standing firm on Christ and trusting in his promises still. Think about all those martyrs who've given their lives even, and we have not come close to that yet. We are not alone in our trials, and neither are we alone in our doubting. We most certainly are not alone then in our prayers or in our faith either. The psalmist calls this question about suffering and anxiety a wearisome task. He's been trying to figure out God's divine, hidden, inner workings and trying to figure it out from a human, fallen, and external point of view. And it's not going to work. Actually, it's too painful, the psalmist says, to think about it. It is spiritual suicide to dwell for long on the question why, while looking at the world of experience and what our eyes can see only. But when the psalmist goes into the sanctuary of God, that is, into the holy things of the Lord's revelation, then he discerns the end of the wicked and the way all of this does work out in the end. That is by the Lord's mercy. Experience and the eyes linked to our fickle, fallen hearts teach one thing, but God's promises in Christ teach another. Consider how our Lord sheds the different light of God's promise to the world in the gospel. If you looked at the birds, dear Christians, then you wouldn't necessarily say that God knows when they fall. You wouldn't draw the conclusion that beautiful but fragile and short-lived flowers matter. But when it is known that he is a heavenly Father, one whose Son has come into your failing flesh willingly to declare in no uncertain terms that he is for you and works even his own death for your good, well then, of what greater value are you than birds and grass, which he protects and clothes also in the way appropriate to them? You have been valued at a price far beyond anything that the psalmist saw in his sanctuary. You have been valued at the price of blood not of lambs or goats. But God has valued you equal with his own Son, costly and precious as God's own blood. And all of your sufferings are therefore joined to his own sufferings in Christ. The chastisements of beloved children, or simply the glue that sticks you always more closely to Jesus, whose suffering alone saves and brings you through every suffering that you face. Brutish and ignorant like a beast, that is our natural doubting self. And the psalmist repents of his embittered soul. If his hands were clean, his mind and conscience have not been. So it is when Jesus says to us again, "Do not be anxious, O you of little faith." In these words, our anxiety and our faith and our weak faith are both aroused. And when Christ says that there is nothing to fear, we object with all of our buts. We think our worries are what make us wise. Well, the psalmist says they make us foolish, like animals, dumber even, Jesus says, because flowers and birds don't, in fact, worry. But then comes the nevertheless of faith, God's but to all of our objections, doubts, unbelief, sin, and shame. And that is, nevertheless, I am continually with you. And that is because you hold my right hand. God keeps us with him. Christ speaks tenderly, not angrily, to his disciples of little faith. It is his purpose, nevertheless, to guide us with his counsel and receive us into his glory, not by our own doing or anxiety, but by his doing. At last, we have come to the best and the greatest verses of Psalm 73, the ones for which this psalm was chosen. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Martin Luther translated these words this way, "Lord, if I have thee only, then I need nothing else in heaven or earth." This is what it means when God says, "I am the Lord your God, and you shall have no other gods." To have him is to have everything. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will fall into place. Indeed, much of it, especially our anxieties, will fall away. With this, Lord, what else do you need? My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Death is everywhere in today's words from Jesus. There is no way that you could read this gospel as if Jesus were laying out Christianity as a pain-free life. I mean, the birds fly and then fall to the ground. The grass that has to be mowed every single week all summer long, eventually it does stop growing and then it dies. Winter comes, our flesh and our heart will also fail. That means that your flesh and your heart must be fixed in the one who does not fail. He, Jesus Christ, is the strength of our hearts that die, and the portion of those who fail. Because he will raise the dead and give eternal life to all believers in him. That is the Christian confidence and the Christian hope. Dear saints, turn away from your worries by putting them to rest in Christ's promises. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all his works. Those who are far from him perish, and those who are unfaithful are put to an end. But it is good to be near God. In the midst of things you cannot understand, believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Take up this nevertheless of faith, the nevertheless which God adds to a world of brutish beasts and fading flowers. And that is the nevertheless of Christ the Righteous One, the Savior who bleeds for you, and the one in whom everything holds together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, we implore you, let your continual pity cleanse and defend your church. And because she cannot continue in safety without your aid, preserve her evermore by your help and goodness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lutheran Prayer Hour is brought to you each Sunday morning by the Lutheran congregations of the Missouri Synod in southeast North Dakota. This morning's broadcast was conducted by the Reverend Sean Denzer, visitor of the Southeast Circuit. If you have no church of your own, we extend a cordial invitation to hear God's Word with us at one of our Southeast Circuit congregations. You can find service times, sermons, and other information for the faithful Lutheran church nearest you at sendlcms.org. That's sendlcms.org. If you have any questions about the Bible, the Lutheran Church, or any comment regarding this morning's broadcast, address them to KBMW 605 Dakota Avenue, Wahpeton, North Dakota, 58075. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.